start. We don't have a real structure of management at this stage, so in order to get us up to that point, I'll go ahead and start us through this. So I'd like to welcome you to the Arizona State Board of Barbering and Cosmetology Board meeting. We have a little redundant board there. I might want to take out one of the boards somewhere. For March 4th of 2022. So we'll call it to order, and let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance is to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, now we'll go to a roll call. Gary Bagley, I'm a cosmetology school owner. Marshall Knox.
Present. Marshall Knox, also a barber school owner, barbershop owner.
Okay, good. Okay, Randy Flores.
Present, and I'm a public member.
Nick Guzman, Goodman, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. Nick Goodman, and present, and public member.
Trying to combine
Trista
Guzman is not available here today. Chase?
Present, public member.
Excellent. We're a nine-man board now, so it requires five people to be present. Excuse me, nine pronoun corrected person board. Let's do a roll call and introduction of board staff. Or would you take that for us?
Sure. Okay, we will start with compliance. Kelly?
Present.
Helen?
Present. Ms. Case Stewart, could you please use our surname's place?
I'm sorry. Ms. Ms. Winter?
Present.
Ms. Bordelon?
Yes.
Ms.
I'm so sorry. Hill.
Ms. Hill?
Present.
And Ms. Bergeron?
Present.
Rosa Rodriguez?
Ms. Rodriguez, compliance supervisor.
Alicia Elman?
Susie
Thomas?
Yes.
Ray Devine?
Project manager.
Keegan McConnell.
Admin assistant too.
Eileen Barajas.
Admin assistant too.
And Adriana
Gonzalez.
Admin assistant three.
And we've got Bruce Bueno.
Bruce Bueno, former barber board director.
And myself, Irma Tay Stewart. Right now I'm the deputy director, interim.
Good morning, Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, representing the board. Thank you.
Nice for you to represent us. We need help. Well, this is interesting for all of us because we all know a couple of people. But we'll work together and we'll do great things and solve some problems. So excited about that. All right, as we move down through the agenda, the first item is the review of the telephonic virtual board minutes for the December 17th meeting. However, that was with the cosmetology board, so we don't have a way to approve those minutes, so they'll have to stay draft minutes. Board member declaration of conflict of interest. I have a feeling I'm probably the only one, but of course I always am. I have a conflict with case number 95613 with my school. In step 1B. It's been stuck on there for generations because we can't get a big enough form here that I can recuse myself. Hoping someday that'll go away. Any other conflicts of interest? Marshall, you have any conflicts of interest tonight? All right. We're going to have to get more activity, guys.
No conflict.
Come on now.
No conflict.
Somebody's going to get in this. Let's get going. Clean going. All right, so let's move up then to number three, discussion, consideration, possible action, election of new board officers pursuant to ARS 32503. We need to elect a chairman, a vice chairman, and a secretary treasurer. I'd like to ask a question, if I may, about the agenda. Are we at a point, I mean, I know we need to do this, but are we at a point where we can actually start looking at our committees also?
Mr. Bagley, members of the board, I think at this time, the way it is agendized, that what the board will be doing at this time, and you may wish to go around and just introduce yourself and say a little bit more about your background, but at this time, it is agendized to go ahead and elect the officers of the board. In the future, the board would have the opportunity to assign committees and also chairs of those committees. For example, in the past, we did have a rules committee. Ms. Flores was the chair of that rules committee. The rules committee worked very hard just to let the present board members know, came up with a rule package that went through without any hiccups. It went very smoothly, and the board, the committee and the board worked very hard in that. The board also may consider a study committee, because the board is required to conduct a study report to be due by November 1st of 2023 to look at whether or not there is a way to consolidate the licenses, to take a look at fees, and to also look at education. So that would be something that could be done in the future. So, but at this point, just agendize for those officers, yes.
Okay, well, let's do that. Let's look at getting to know each other a little bit, and then let's see if we can get through some of this officership. So would you mind telling us a little background?
Sure. My name is Chase Turrentine, attorney here in Arizona. Currently, I do finance attorney, nothing all that exciting. During law school, I interned for the Institute for Justice and did a lot of research on this board specifically. I also worked for the governor's Office of General Counsel and got to know lots of people there. I became interested in the boards after doing all the research and seeing what everybody does and how people here can affect people's lives. So I'm here to help.
It's going to be great skills. I'll go next. My name is Gary Begley. I own an aesthetic school. We also own a company that creates energy devices that are used in aesthetics. I've been in the industry since 1984, so whatever that is, 100 years or so. Been on this board for about 12, 13 years. Been chairman of Cosmetology Board 12, 13 years. I'm aware of the industry, kind of aware of some of the crises we're involved in right now, and have a fair amount of connections into the industry at different levels. Also on the board of directors of NIC for 3 years, the test development company.
Nick Goodman, I hear a really horrible whining sound when I talk.
It's that speaker right there that's off next to the microphone. Thank you.
So we can all agree that my voice is grating. Thank you. My day job, I'm the CEO of a women's healthcare group, and I'm a CEO of a women's healthcare group named Omdoc. I also all right. We'll see how it goes. I'm on the dental board. It's meeting in one of the other conference rooms, so I got to leave that to come hang out with y'all. I resigned from the pharmacy board because I was excited about this being a combined board and the opportunity to come and serve here. So I'm looking forward to learning a lot more about barbers and cosmetology, because right now I know near nothing other than my own experience of having gone to some of those services.
Excellent. I'm Brandy Flores. I am a member of the public, so I don't have a direct connection to the cosmetology industry in my professional life. I do work in an advocacy role for a pharmaceutical company in my day job. I've been on the Arizona State Board of Cosmetology for several years prior to the combination of this board, and very much enjoyed representing the public and engaging with the Rules Committee, diving into sort of the nuances of how the entire industry operates through those rules. So looking forward to doing more in this combined board and getting to know my fellow board members and continuing to represent the public.
Once again, Marshall Knox, U.S. Air Force, 10 years, got out, told my Navy in federal security for a year, went back to my roots. I've been cutting hair since I was 13. Decided to go ahead, now that once I had tore my knee up, couldn't walk, and get my barber's license. There are two locations as far as barbershops, and also school owner. Been on the board since 2012, and just looking forward to doing some great things here now that we're combined. Looking forward to see how Cosmo works, along with barber and some of the issues that were out there that we can hopefully get resolved and move things forward.
Well, I'm excited about this board. This board's got some good skill groups. We should be able to do some good. If you look at the cosmetology board by itself, not counting the barbers, we were the largest license provider next to the motor vehicle department. So it's a vast structure with over 100,000 licensees. So it's a big operation. Adding the barbers just makes it better. We're excited about this. It just makes sense. We've talked about it for years and years, and now that it's together, we'll be able to merge and make everything work smoother. So we're all very excited about this work and the good it can do. We are also coming into this board situation in a little bit of a crisis. The COVID situation that we've all dealt with, wreaked havoc on our testing system. I don't know how else to put it. It just tore it to pieces. And we're facing that as a huge issue. Resolutions are available to us, and this board will be able to look at getting that taken care of. Randy and I already did in December, made some judgments on what we thought was the best path, but we need to get this executed so we can get this weight off. There are thousands of people right now waiting to get tested, which is just nuts, just crazy. But we will. We will solve it. We've got good people. And we mean well, and we're going to get it. So it's exciting. So let's look at that issue. We need to move ahead with putting together the chairman, vice chairman, and the secretary treasurer. I know you've all experienced this, but we figure out the secretary treasurer is sort of a symbolic situation. So anybody's looking for symbolism. Yeah, is that working?
Well, that symbolism sounds like Brandy. I mean, I've known her for a couple of years.
I've ever seen that. And we got more work done in a timely work than we'd worked on that package for 3 years. She came in, took the committee over, and it worked really well. She did a really good job. So I'm crazy excited about her doing that again for us. So I'm hoping that works out.
I'd like to nominate myself for all the committees, please. No,
that'll be the next board meeting.
That's got to kick into your mask.
Well, if I may, as far as a process, if we were to have somebody like Marshall or Mr. Knox, and then somebody like Mr. Begley, am I saying it right, serve that in the top two roles, that could help bring the two boards together in some way. Mr. Knox, were you on the board, the previous board for the barbers?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I just think kind of process-wise, if we did something along those way, that way it would be helpful.
That makes sense to me. I think we're both about the same time period. You're about 10 years, about the same thing.
Yes, sir.
Right.
So members of the board, do we need a motion or a second?
We need a motion from somewhere. More than a motion, we need a nomination.
Well,
that it can be a nomination and a motion, which anybody would want to, but we need a motion, a second, and a vote. On those three.
Well, do either of you gentlemen have an interest in either of the two roles, or?
I don't have an issue.
Either way, you're good, or?
Yeah. Okay. I think, it, like I said, it works out great for somebody from the board, so.
Yes, I think that's fine. Nice. And I'd like to recommend, I mean, we can go any direction, it's fine. I'm used to doing this and
running yeah.
it, but it would be really important to me that if we get to work together, that we do share that responsibility, because the board has historically not done that. Which put the board in a position to where if I wasn't here, there was only one case in the last like 13 years where someone else had to run the meeting and all I heard was the complaints about how difficult it was. And I know that was because we did need to share it.
There's some differences.
Yeah, you have, even when the meetings are running, there needs to be some situation where not every meeting is done just the same, both experiences are developed.
Yeah, well then I'd move that we have Mr. Begley as the chair, is that the role we're talking about?
Yes.
Vice chair, Mr. Knox, and then treasurer ceremonial, Mrs. Flores.
A second?
I didn't see that.
All right.
We don't have to vote on it as being ceremonial.
That's true. She'll be good.
Are you okay with that?
I'm comfortable.
Can we do a roll call?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess.
He jumped in so fast.
Yeah, he was quick.
Thank you, Greek protector, Jerry.
Roll call. Mr. Bagley?
Yes.
Ms. Flores?
Aye.
Mr. Goodman?
Aye.
Mr. Knox?
Aye.
And Mr. Turrentine?
Aye. Wanted to throw a yay.
Yeah, do something. Get some tone to it. All right, great. I think this is a good start. We run like this until July. We'll take a look at it again because I think our attorneys all end in July. So we can take a look at it and see what to do next. But this will get us started and get the work started. So it'll be great. I really am looking forward to working with all of you. All right, so moving on then. Back to where we were for a second. In the next agenda, please put on there the development of the committees.
What was that?
Please put on the next agenda to put on the development of the committees, probably three committees, the study committee, the rules committee, and a legislative mm-hmm. committee. It's a giant amount of organization. I guess we don't know. Report and discussion, executive order 2022-01, moratorium on rulemaking to promote job creation and economic development, internal review of administrative rules.
This was provided to you for an update.
Okay, all right, so we got a copy of that.
Right.
Here, everybody got a copy. All right, I assume this is where we already were. In our world, we just did a huge rule packet, so we're probably in pretty good shape. The rules we have to get involved with now will be the merging of the two groups together rules, so. That would be exempted from this as necessary, but we'll work on that. So you don't have the opportunity to review this. I don't think we need to do an open meeting. Okay, internal review administrative rules. They're just asking us to review ours again, so it's the same thing we're going to do anyway. All right. Update regarding the professional credential services examination, including the written practical exam via computer-based CBT and updated contract.
We did talk to Frank Singh, and effective April 1st, 2020, we will go live with exams, and Virtual Inc. will begin providing the written practical exam via computer-based testing in partnership with National Interstate Council of State Boards of Cosmetology, approved vendor in lieu of the existing hands-on practical exam for the cosmetology, estheticians, and nail technician profession. Virtual will continue to administer a hands-on practical exam for the hairstylist and instructor professions. At this time, until CBT examined for these professions are made available by NIC. Virtual will no longer need to provide an annual practical exam. is that our training session or school overview for the practical examination moving to CBT. No other process of term changes are currently necessary. All fees will remain the same.
Okay, for my board, because some of you haven't had to deal with this, historically, the board actually administered its own test at one point, the practical test in the board offices. As time went by, we decided that it was better if we used an outside service. There was a national test. We wanted to be part of the national testing system to create better license reciprocity between states. So we contracted those things out. It worked very nice for a long time. This is on the cosmetology side on. It worked very nice for a lot of years. It really wasn't a situation where we thought it was a problem of any sort. It went smoothly. It was generally about 3-4 weeks to get a testing done after a person graduated. Life was fine.
And I also like to say that they are working to for the barber board to also.
Yes. Yep. I agree with you. And now I will get some right. Include that. So anyway, as time went by, COVID came along. COVID came along, blew the tires off everything. They had deaths within their company, the testing company, taking out top management. Structure started to fail. We started having scandal after scandal down there, crazy testing things going on, resulting in people being delayed for months to get tested, people being failed arbitrarily. Failed not because they did poorly in a test, but because the testing people decided that they thought there were too many people that had passed. It was unbelievable. We had to dig all that out. We did. We figured it out. We got those people eliminated. The system was just coming apart. That company sold first to one company, then to another. Gradually just came apart. We were pushing to get it fixed because we have an obligation to the students to test them in a reasonable time period. These are people who went to school, spent a lot of money, a lot of time, and they're trying to start careers. And we, as a board, were responsible for the fact that right now it takes 8 months to get graduated before you get to the point where you get tested. So we had that delay time, which was horrendous. And then we had the scandal that we had people who were actually failing people without reason. So it was a total cramer. We got involved trying to find a way out. We found computer-based testing to be an alternative and have organized that to come in. The testing company that's going to be providing that we're trying to put together, we believe we have put together, tells me they can have, and I don't know what the backlog is right now. I hear it's somewhere between 4,000 and 7,000 people. They tell me they can have that backlog caught up within 60 days and have us to a point where you can graduate and be tested within 2 weeks. We're going from one testing site operating 2 days a week to 8 testing sites operating 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. You can also use system test in China if you'd like to, or in other foreign countries. They take the Arizona test, which I think is hilarious, and somebody should be there just so we have that story. It's cool. In addition, in our system, they have a mechanism for the schools to become testing centers. So it will go from being a real nightmare to just not being an event because it should run so smoothly. To get that to work, the companies have been organized, as you said. The registration system is in place and ready to switch over. The testing company, General Metric, is ready to put the test in place. I spoke to NIC this week, and they're going to have Spanish and Vietnamese and Korean translations ready. They think within 30 days, so we get everything back to where it should be to get everybody in the same testing situation. It is a doorway out.
Right.
But I think where we are right now, we have to execute a document with PCS to finalize it.
Right.
And Prometric has to execute one document with PCS for the same purpose. And then we're up.
And is this equivalent pricing for the student?
Exactly the same.
Okay. And then when you talk about the testing centers, this is the standard testing center where lots of individuals
you're doing architecture, insurance, whatever it may be.
Yeah, you just go and you're in a cubicle and the person next to you is testing on something else. Okay.
Exactly. And you'll be able to take both tests, the theory and the practical, the same day, which is just huge.
Okay.
Yeah, and all of this is designed with the idea of cutting time out, getting them to work, not inhibiting their ability to work.
It's a lot of people to practice their trade.
And on the barber side, we're looking at you know, we'll have, there's a lot of work to do, but we are assuming this is going to go into the same system because it gives them the same benefits.
Yes, members of the board, I also do want to point out that there was a change in HB 2029 that is both to the barber board's examinations and also to the cosmetology, and that is in ARS 32324 and in ARS 32514. The 300s is the barber board side, the 500s are the cosmetology board side, and what that now permits is individuals to test prior to graduation. And then, so that will make a big difference also.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, so they're able to test, but however, they have to, you know, obviously complete their coursework and graduate before they, you know, seek licensure. But also that will streamline things too.
You're absolutely right. I'm glad you brought that up. We got that as an exciting thing, but we were in such a mess with the other part that we didn't even see the value because we were, but now that we're not going to be in that mess, that's huge.
Yeah, no, and I am very familiar with the bill, so I will be jumping in and reminding you of any of those changes.
Good, very helpful.
All right.
And all this change is just designed to get people back to work, to get them to just get out of their way, just so we stop tripping. So, but it has been quite a disaster. It's run now for, actually, the failure thing started in March of last year, so it's been running that long.
So under the new legislation, in theory, a person could test, graduate, and that weekend be working.
Go to work the next week, go right to that.
Right.
Yeah, it's a huge jump forward. I mean, when you compare waiting 8 months to that, not the same idea. So that's a giant work from this board to get that solved, get that done, get that cleaned up, and take care of these people.
Yeah. And I would also like to say the contract, or they're updating that.
Right. Yeah, and we were not, I didn't mean to imply that we were slowing that down. What actually happened was we asked for this. They sent us a contract. They put the wrong name on it, which is just awesome. And we couldn't sign a contract with the old name on it. So we asked them to put our correct name on it so that we could do business. That's all there is to it.
Right.
Other than there. But I have spoken to all the groups involved, and everybody is moving forward with the intent of starting April 1st.
And Mr.
Back,
members of the board, and also to include the CBT testing under the scope of services within the contract, in addition to updating the name to reflect it.
Yep, that's great. So that'll be taken care of from here. Certainly, this is a public meeting, so we're, you know, everybody has an opportunity to hear what we're talking about here. We do need to get information out to the schools so that they can get it out to the people who are waiting. Everybody, I believe, that's up there currently hanging in the balance for months to get tested needs to get rescheduled. But everything scheduled after April 1st will be CBT. So tell all your friends in the schools.
Is that what I'm trying to do the same. Question, is that on the cosmetology side as well?
It's only cosmetology so far. But we have every intention, this is something part of our combining, that we need to have that conversation about having a standardized system and something that works for everybody. Right, so that, and I'm not sure how we get from here to that, but we have to get there.
Got a few plans. We'll
make it work out.
Before we move forward, we have a case it's one of your cases that you missed. It's a D2. And that's page 9.
Okay. Mr. Judy West.
Moving back to the conflict of interest.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay, I'll drop that. D9. Huh? Okay. Oh, I see up here. Okay, yeah, in section D in conflicts. Okay, good point. All right, so we're in 2D. Is that what that is?
Yes, 2D.
All right, in 2D, in addition to the conflict, which I stated earlier, we have a lot of them. So in 2D, in addition to the statement, I also have a conflict with case number 95186, 95978. No, she didn't. All right, and those have been hanging in that queue for a year. Next meeting, we're going to have enough people. Let's go. Wouldn't there be something?
Yeah.
What's in card? All right, good. So we're good there. Any other questions about the testing system? Anything anybody wants to know? Four of us? We're okay. All right.
This is kind of sensory, but I can't see the card. 939. Is 6 actually intended to be time sensory?
Yes, it is. Because you will be having Mr. Sean McConnell will be coming and helping the board through that process.
Thank you. All right, so we'll come back to that, I guess, in a little bit here. The next part down talks about us being able to go into executive session, which is unlikely, but nonetheless, it's a possibility. Board may vote to go into an executive session pursuant to ARS 38431.03 to discuss some matter that we feel like we need legal advice on. So if that happens, we'll do that. I guess we may do that related to number 10 or number 6. So. All right, so let's jump down to number 7. Practical tips for regulatory board members. Conducting effective board meetings training. That must be you.
Yes. Mr. Bagley, members of the board, there is a 109-page PowerPoint that I put together in conjunction with the Attorney General's office. However, I will not be going through that. I heard that there may be some objections if I did that. But I would, if I could, just make some opening remarks. And then I do have some slides that I wanted to talk about as far as executive session, because the board will be going into executive session under agenda item 6 to consider the executive director position and to be dealing with Mr. Sean McConnell through that process. So if I could, again, my name is Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General. I have represented this board for, I think, as long as Brandy. I think it came on the same time. Maybe I was a month before, and that's approximately 3 years. I've had the pleasure of working with the Barber Board, so I do know Vice Chair Mr. Marshall Knotts, and I've worked with him before, so it's wonderful to see him on the board, and then also with Mr. Bueno. So anyway, so I do bring that experience working with the Barber Board and the Cosmetology Board. I currently also represent health boards within the licensing and enforcement section, so I bring that experience, which is also helpful. Prior to that, I worked within the criminal appellate section of the Attorney General's office, so I have experience writing, arguing before the Arizona Court of Appeals, the Supreme Court, within federal courts, and that was a valuable experience right out of law school. I'm very excited to be here and to be representing the board during this. It's just really, I mean, kind of an inaugural time with the consolidation and to move forward with, you know, efficiency. Protecting the public. The one part that I will talk about is executive sessions. Generally, when the board deals with executive sessions, that's to receive legal advice from their legal advisor, which would be me if I'm, you know, there representing the board. You may receive legal advice during a formal hearing, and that would be from another member of the Attorney General's office that would be representing the board, and I would be taking the role as the prosecutor or attorney, so you would not be hearing from me. So I do have some slides. I am going to refer to them because this is pretty statutorily intensive. Executive session is a gathering of a quorum from which the public is excluded and is authorized pursuant to 38431.01. So it is defined by statutes. It's only permitted during 7 specific circumstances. The circumstances that the board is really going to consider in it is to obtain legal advice from their lawyer, to review confidential records, and that's more relevant with health boards, particularly if we have, you know, health records of a licensee or a complainant in those type of cases. But actually, the cosmetology board has received some confidential health records that we have reviewed in the past, so that has become relevant. And then we have a special section is to discuss personnel matters. And that is one of the main sections that you will be using today. You have to, according to the open meeting law, it has to be specifically agendized. If you will notice at the beginning of the agenda, we have included that the board may go into executive session on any agenda item for receiving legal advice. And that's just kind of to cover it all so that, you know, something cannot slip through the cracks. Rarely, on every agenda item, we haven't gone into executive session. Usually, these cases are very clean and everything is done in open session. To go go into executive session, it does require a vote. So it'd be, I move to go into executive session to obtain legal advice, discuss personnel matters, and to review confidential records. Now, you will have confidential records when you are reviewing your applications for the executive director. So that would be the basis to move into executive session. The board must be given a confidentiality statement that states that minutes and discussion held in executive session must be kept confidential. So we have a board process where we go ahead and do that. Now, who gets to go into executive session? Only necessary people. Obviously, all the board members. Obviously, your lawyer. And in this, and if discussing personnel matters, you will have a representative, Mr. Sean McConnell, will be going into executive session. And then, you know, it could be the auditor general. If the board is going under an audit, that happens also. And then we would need a staff person to go ahead and to take minutes to memorialize what happens. And that would be probably when you move forward for Ms. Taya Stewart, that she would be the one that would be doing it. So in person, what we do is either we all leave the room or we have everybody else exit the room. We would put signs up. We'd make sure that the board's discussions are secure, that there is no access to anybody else during that time, during that discussion of the confidential information. And if we have a virtual meeting, the board staff has done a really good job of setting up the phones, so we actually leave one call and go into another room that is secure. So they have done a great job of doing that. Normally in executive session, if it's to receive legal advice, there is no board discussion amongst the members. They all don't get to go in there and say, okay, now we can discuss the case. It's legal questions that would be posed to your legal advisor. Now, during an executive session to review personnel matters, that's an exception because that's a time when the board has the opportunity to talk amongst themselves regarding those personnel matters. And the executive session in that case is really directed by Sean McConnell. He will be directing that. So that would be a time for him to go through the process, explain things, and the board can go ahead and discuss it. Now, this goes without saying, but it has happened in the past where boards have attempted to go into executive session for legal advice when the board's lawyer wasn't there. Obviously, you know, you can't do that. We have to have legal counsel present, whether it would be myself, or if for some reason I cannot attend the meeting, it would be somebody else.
So would that suspend the agenda item then?
Right, it would. If it was an executive session and for some reason I was not here, if there was an emergency, if there was some kind of conflict, yes, absolutely. That's a very, very good point. And that has happened in the past, just to point it out. Now, generally, when we go into executive session, if it's to receive legal advice, it's a dialogue, it's questions generally to the legal advisor regarding legal issues. There is no voting, there's no consensus, there's no straw votes, there's just questioning. And that's really to separate that out, because the whole purpose of a public meeting is the public discourse, is that everybody knows what the board members think. It's done in open session. There's, you know, a robust discussion among the board members of whatever case is before you, whatever controversy there is, or whatever issues that you are trying to decide. Now, at the end of an executive session, when we're in executive session, there's no voting to get out of it. And this is, for me, even as a lawyer, when I first came to this section of criminal, it just didn't make sense to me. But there's just, okay, we're done with executive session, and then we go back out into public session. And that's where, again, all that discussion for the public, so that they know, you know, what the board members are dealing with and what their individual feelings are. Now, just as a caveat, when we do go out into executive session, after legal advice, the one thing, and I'm sure that you've heard this from the dental board, when you're receive training from them, is do not reveal. Don't come out into executive session and remark, okay, based on what our lawyer told us. So what you would take is the legal advice and just kind of incorporate that and implement that into your analysis of what other facts you have before you. So anyway, but that is all I have to say. be directed by your representative, Sean McConnell. So is there any questions about this? Okay, I hope that was helpful and not too worried. So moving on to your agenda, Ms. Tay Stewart.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's move up to number eight. We're still 10 minutes away from our time certain with HR. Number eight is welcome in our dialogue with visiting college students, instructors, and faculties. And I feel fortunate to look out and actually see some support out there from our schools. If you're here from a school, would you mind telling us what your school is and your name?
So I'm Amy Blackman. I represent Gateway Community College, along with these amazing instructors here.
Very nice. Well, welcome, Gateway. Welcome.
I'm Allison Zach. I'm from Westmeck.
Up from Westmeck, great. Very nice.
Kathleen Asman, Desiree Weibel, and we represent J-Ted and Houston.
Wow, we got all of our speed schools. That's nice. Nice. We have to get everybody else to show back up when we start coming here in person. We really do appreciate your support. Have you experienced the issues we talked about with the testing problem? Yeah.
Yes, we have experienced a lot of those issues. And it's a real problem for us right now. As we know, working with our partners, we can't get our kids or our adults licensed fast enough, and their federal loans are already due the day they graduate. So mm-hmm. that poses a huge problem, putting people in debt immediately because they can't get licensed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a question?
Certainly.
We were wondering when you guys are going to send out a full bulletin on all of the updates you just spoke of, outlining every single
the CBT update.
Like yeah, we need an update because even the State Board website hasn't been updated yet. Right. The current.
Yeah, we were somewhat handicapped by the ability to disclose the information before we had all the pieces in line.
Okay.
It really has been a ticking bomb situation that drives me crazy because I know it was coming towards us, and yet we couldn't really say because we could have been disclosing information that didn't turn out to be true. At this stage, we've put all the pieces together and we're down to paper. So we're there. I recognize on the other side of this that we're early March and we're talking about less than 30 days switching to a new system, and there is the gigantic problem that we have all these people trained to take up physical practical, and we have to somehow re-educate them to take a written practical, which really isn't different information, but it's presented differently. So we know that you need to get started doing your re-educations, some kind of boot camps or something, some way, because these guys lined up right. So we get through it. Yes, ma'am.
Where can we find information about this written practical and experience that other states and other boards have had with it?
The best we have right now is the nictesting.org website.
Okay.
Under the CIB, the candidate information bulletin section. If you go into it, look on the left side, you can pick language and what topic, and then go down, look for the written practical, and you can pull up a short CIB. Yes, ma'am.
The students that are still bogged down in the system,
yes.
Are they going to be filtered out with the online test, or are they going to be continuing on with the practical?
Practical testing will stop at the end of this month,
right.
And there'll be no more. The only thing that'll still be done in a practical test will be the instructor test and the hair design only test, and that will be until probably around June. They expect to have the written test ready at that point, and at that point, all physical testing will stop.
Have the logistics been worked out then for those students that have already prepaid to get in line for licensing, because they would already be funded in one account then?
The magical answer to that is all of that's in PCSHQ. They're registered up there, but they're registered into a system that's going to disappear. Early March, right in this time period, PCSHQ is going to start. New people who register now will be registered after April 1st in a CBT. Once they get that to where that works for them, which I have no idea what that means, but that's what they said. Once they get that to where that flows, then they're going to go back through that giant backlog and start rebooking everybody. My thought is, and this is just my thought, is you may want to talk to your candidates and get them to go back and rebook themselves.
Will they need to pay them though?
No.
Okay.
They're already up there. They're already in place. not trying to make this harder anyway. We're trying to save them.
Thank you.
You guys okay? Yes, Chair.
So going back to the moment, in regards to the pre-testing for the 300, 500 hours, which I'm assuming is a theory, right now the way that works for us in the exam is we can't approve a student to test without their certification of grad, which is normally done after they're graduated. So if they're going to be allowed to pre-test, I'm assuming the theory, after the $500?
Yes.
What are the schools going to have to give us, and what are we going to be able to do to okay them? Because it's only going to okay them to test that part.
That's a really great question. The law says that you can test early. That's a place.
Yeah.
The schools have not been notified in any way at all that would help them get ready for this.
Yeah.
We, as a school, still issue a graduation email, as you know.
Yeah.
There has to be a new path where the schools are made aware that at a given point per course, they can issue this preliminary registration or whatever we're going to call it. That's going to have to come from us as a board. We're going to have to create that document and put that out in the school's hands, because there has to be one uniform system. That needs to go on our agenda. She's part of that staff.
That was one of the questions that the
group. She wanted to know that.
Yeah, all people have to know.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Perfect.
That's right.
Thank you.
Stand together.
Who just voted for you?
I know.
I am not in school. I'm an employer. May I ask a question? It's related to.
I believe so.
Working with
Cosmos, instructor and faculty. Does anyone have an objection to me taking a question from this next lady?
I don't think so, because it's a dialogue here for another evening.
With visiting cosmetology students, instructors, and faculty,
Can you ask her? And then have her ask me. So, you call.
Okay.
No, she has to ask me.
Or you can make her hire.
That's right, hire her.
Hire right now.
We might want to add on our agenda having the industry, because this is going to be a bigger and bigger part of our world. We're all, as you know, facing employer groups now that are huge, and they have issues that we need to be dealing with.
Her question was, first she said thank you to everybody, to the staff, for everything you guys have done to get us through this part, and then her question was based around a request to get the information out to us all cleanly so that we are doing the right things to get the students employed immediately.
Absolutely.
Because basically the companies are suffering to get their
employees. I absolutely agree with you. I get calls, having been on this board for a long time, I get calls all week long and emails all week long from employers trying to sort this out, complaining that they can't get enough employees because we can't get out of their way and let them go to work, which is just horrifying to me. I mean, it goes against everything that I believe in, that we would block
people. We want to get them hired and paying those loans back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
It will be out quickly. We know this is an urgent situation.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
So what is the process for a hairstylist student or a student instructor to get their license now?
They're two different things. Student instructor is still the same program it's been. It's a 350-hour course you go through. Is that what you
for
mean?
The testing, no. For the testing.
And then the testing is still a physical practical. And will be until June.
And then after June, we'll
like in June, the NIC people have committed to have the testing available as written practical. And when they do, we'll switch. They don't have it right now. We okay?
We have a million, but
yeah.
We're okay right now.
Yeah, well, I know it's been a tough year.
We got more coming out.
Yeah, it's been a tough year. We all have been suffering, and we know that these people being caught in this testing mess of ours. Is really, really difficult. And we've been struggling to fix this, struggling against what we didn't know was broken, and had to figure that out, and gradually got up to where in our last meeting in December, Randy and I were involved in just pulling the plug and saying we're not
graduate in May, they will definitely be CBT, unless it's a, unless it's hair design or an instructor, because that'll still run till June.
So it's, I'm asking about hairstyling students who graduate in the end of May.
Hairstyling in May, they'll register, and they'll be registered to go into a physical practical if they get a test date before the end of June. We should expect that to be physical until the end of June. We're not controlling that. That's the testing guy, is the testing writer, if the writing company finishes it. But I spoke to John Colton from that company, and he told me they would have that done for us, that it was, they recognized the urgency.
So those students graduating at the end of May, will we should prepare them then for the current practical?
Check back with us during that time period, but I believe so until the end of June.
Okay.
They could change, because as I said, the testing provider has expressed to me they recognize this to be a crisis, and they're going to put a lot of resources on to solve it. You good?
Right.
Thank you for not making that worse.
We're only good if it's communicated really well.
We're trying.
That's the scariest part, is the communication.
Yeah, and the board will work hard on getting some documentation out to the schools that spells this all out so that it's clear. We have every desire to make this clear and easy for everybody. We have put a huge amount of time and effort and emotion in figuring a path through this mess to something that will work. And we believe in CBT, and we believe CBT will solve this. All right, now we're at 10 o'clock. So I have yet to see the door swing open, but is our...
We're going to call him.
Okay, yes. I thought we were...
We need a motion to go into executive session.
No, you need to move to agenda item 6, and
right.
That would be the opening of agenda item 6.
Okay, we're moving to agenda item 6, review and discussion possible action regarding selection of the board executive director.
And
we would like to make a motion to go into executive session.
Before then, would you want to get Mr. McCullough?
Yes, I'm
going to
call him.
And then Mr. McCullough can introduce himself to the board and ask any just general questions.
Yes.